Welcome to Zero Signal. This week, the storylines were intense and intertwined. Heat and fire in Europe, storms in the West Pacific, the largest aerial assault of the war in Ukraine, GPS interference in European skies, steady pressure in the Taiwan Strait, open disagreements over Gaza, markets shifting on weaker data, and a new flashpoint tied to Venezuela as the United States released video of strikes on alleged drug boats. We'll map the signals and the patterns behind them.
It is being called a dark moment for America. The targeted shooting of conservative political activist Charlie Kirk during an outdoor event at Utah Valley University.
Tonight, the manhunt for the suspect is intensifying, focusing on a figure seen running on the roof of a building about 200 yards from where Kirk was sitting. Charlie Kirk, the 31-year-old founder of Turning Point USA, was speaking to thousands of students at an outdoor event when he was killed by a single gunshot. The shooting is being condemned by political figures on both sides of the aisle, many saying it's time to lower the temperature on political violence and rhetoric.
Charlie was passionate, fearless, and unafraid to speak truth as he saw it. He poured himself into engaging young people and encouraging them to take their place in public life. But most importantly, Charlie's hope was not in politics or movements. It was in Christ. His faith defined him, and even in his boldness, he pointed others toward the ultimate truth found in Jesus. Rest in peace, Charlie.
The summer may have ended on a wet and windy note, but the Met Office has confirmed that it was the UK's warmest on record. Let's get more from our weather presenter, Liam Dutton. What can you tell us?
Well, Chris, if we cast our minds back to earlier on in the year, the UK had its warmest spring on record, and now news today that we've had the warmest summer on record as well. Now, the summer's been characterised by four heat waves effect in the UK, but that's only a small part of the story because outside of these heat waves, temperatures have been persistently above normal nationwide, both by day and by night. And with today's news, it now means that the UK's top five warmest summers on record have all occurred since the year 2000. And that long, hot, dry, infamous summer of 1976 has been relegated to sixth place.
Spain, Portugal, and France closed out summer with a fire risk that simply refused to fade. Spain's meteorological service called this the hottest summer on record for the country, and the wildfire footprint across Iberia shows what that means in practice. Parched fuel, jumpy winds, and crews stretched thin. Officials talk climate, land management, and the need for year-round readiness. People on the ground feel something simpler. When summers behave like rolling emergencies, anxiety becomes part of daily life. Across the Atlantic, an odd silence. Peak hurricane season, but a rare lull had forecasters flagging seven straight days with no tropical development likely. Silence doesn't end a season, it bends nerves. And as season trackers will tell you, lulls in early September can flip to activity in late September without much warning. Quiet is not comfort. It's the inhale before the exhale. Meanwhile, the West Pacific stayed loud. Vietnam and northern Thailand kept cleaning up after Typhoon Kajiki's flooding. Then Hong Kong and Guangdong danced with tropical storm Tapa. School closures, hundreds of flights disrupted, downed trees, flash floods. One ocean sleeps while another wakes, and supply chains feel that asymmetry quickly. Ports, airports, schedules, insurance.
We begin in Ukraine and with our correspondent there, Gulliver Cragg, in Kyiv now, in the aftermath of the biggest Russian air assault since the start of its full-scale invasion. More than 800 drones and decoy drones, which have become a regular method used by Russian forces to confuse and overwhelm Ukrainian air defense, missiles fired too. In the midst of the overnight attack, Ukrainian forces say they shot down 747 drones and four missiles. You can see the damage of what got through in the center of Kyiv here on the screen, close to Maidan Square in the heart of the city, the main government building hit up in smoke, the seat of Ukraine's cabinet and its ministers.
Geopolitics sharpened. In Ukraine, Russia launched the largest aerial barrage of the entire war, hundreds of drones and missiles, enough to burn a landmark government building in central Kyiv and hammer multiple cities at once. Civilian casualties followed. Ukraine answered by hitting energy targets on Russian soil, ports, pipelines, and refineries. The immediate effect is fire and smoke. The second-order effect is constricted logistics and pressure on war finance. When energy infrastructure becomes a target, timelines stretch, costs compound. Another unsettling data point, a plane carrying the European Commission's president lost GPS navigation on approach to a Bulgarian airport, with officials suspecting Russian jamming. The flight landed safely using non-GPS aids. One incident doesn't make a new normal, but it's a clear reminder that hybrid tactics bleed from war zones into civilian space the moment it's cheap and deniable to do so. In the Taiwan Strait, pressure stayed steady and expensive. Taipei's estimate, Chinese exercises across the strait and out into the Western Pacific have climbed north of $20 billion a year, about 40% higher than the year before. Drills are more than choreography. They're logistics practice, insurance pressure, supply chain headaches, and budget drivers. You don't need a shot fired to move markets and procurement. Gaza remained a grinding battlefield. Israeli operations continued even as allied governments publicly criticized parts of the plan around Gaza City and warned about civilian harm. That public divergence matters. Aid access, diplomatic cover, and timelines all ride on unity among partners. Further south, the Red Sea Theater stayed hot as Yemen's Houthis and retaliatory strikes kept shipping and insurers recalculating risk. Latin America moved to the front of the geopolitical stage this week via Venezuela. In oil and politics, the picture is fluid. The government shuffled leadership inside PDVSA, the state oil company, even as it courted Chinese energy infrastructure and looked for workarounds to sanctions. On the humanitarian and political side, international groups continued to tally repression and civic space closures in the wake of disputed elections. Add to that the migration dimension, shifts through the Darien gap swing with policy and repression, and you have a country that keeps exporting pressure outward. Oil debates, politics, people.
Over the last few minutes, literally shot out a drug-carrying boat, a lot of drugs in that boat, and you'll be seeing that and you'll be reading about that. It just happened moments ago, and our great general, head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who's been so incredible, including what took place in Iran, knocking out potential nuclear power for a long time to come. I think within a month they would have had it. We didn't do what we did. But he gave us a little bit of a briefing, and you'll see. And there's more where that came from. We have a lot of drugs pouring into our country, coming in for a long time. And we just, these came out of Venezuela and coming out very heavily from Venezuela. A lot of things are coming out of Venezuela. So we took it out, and you'll get to see that after this meeting is over.
And then came a jolt. The United States released video of a strike on an alleged Venezuelan drug boat in the Southern Caribbean. Officials said the vessel carried narcotics and tied it to a criminal network that Washington recently designated as a terrorist organization. In the days that followed, the White House and Pentagon were pressed on legal authority, evidence, and congressional notification. A second strike was then announced, and reports of a third surfaced with minimal detail. Venezuela denounced the actions as aggression. Analysts flagged the escalation risk. When interdiction shifts from Coast Guard boardings to military kinetic strikes, you're not just targeting smugglers. You're testing international law, sovereignty, and the boundary between police action and war. Why does that matter for patterns? Because it's a new method layered onto an already crowded chessboard. Red Sea attacks affecting shipping, strait drills affecting semiconductors, Ukraine's energy strikes affecting fuel flows, and now a Caribbean vector that merges counter-drug policy with overt force. It's one more stressor on insurance, transit, and diplomacy, and it can move quickly from the margins to the main storyline.
Prime Minister Shigeru Ishiba has moments ago said he is resigning. Ishiba is holding a news conference explaining the decision right now. Like broadcaster 8 NHK says the decision to step down comes as Ishiba works to avoid a split within the ruling Liberal Democratic Party. The LDP has lost its majority in elections for both houses of parliament since Ishiba took power. Lawmakers are scheduled to vote on Monday on whether to hold an extraordinary leadership election.
In Asia, Japan threw investors a curveball with a prime minister resignation and a leadership scramble. For a heavily indebted, import-dependent economy, that's not just palace intrigue. It's a map for yields, currency, and the price you and I pay for things moved across oceans. Political transitions become macro signals when they reshape budgets and central bank guidance. Brazil, meanwhile, edged toward a constitutional stress test. The High Court extended deliberations in the coup plot case against a former president, and rival rallies filled streets. Legal calendars can move currencies, tariffs, capital flows, and a country's reputation change when the rule of law question is on trial, literally. And the sky gave us a moment of perspective, a brilliant total lunar eclipse, a blood moon, visible across large swaths of Europe, Africa, and Asia. For some, an omen. For others, awe. For our purposes, a reminder that patterns are real and often predictable. Eclipses arrive on schedule even when the rest of the world feels off its axis. Let's connect the threads. Climate pressure is now infrastructure pressure. Fire seasons that don't end. Storm basins that flip from quiet to chaotic. Floods and landslides that hit in clusters. These aren't isolated freak events. They're recurring stress tests on emergency services, insurance, and budgets. When seasons change, systems change. The European GPS incident shows how hybrid tactics migrate from the front lines to civil life because that's where they create low-cost, high-anxiety effects. Expect more jamming, spoofing, and uncertainty by design across borders where there's motive and cover. Ukraine's week showed two truths at once: massed aerial saturation to exhaust defenses, and patient energy targeting to erode capacity. Those tactics are spreading across conflicts. They don't depend on daily headlines. They depend on cumulative strain. The Taiwan Strait remains a pressure cooker with drills as the constant soundtrack. You can move markets and supply chains with repetition alone. There's a reason insurers reprice when patrols never stop. Venezuela is now a multi-vector story. Oil, sanctions, migration, and a counter-narcotics fight that just jumped tracks from law enforcement to military action. That raises legal questions new and old. Authorities, oversight, rules of engagement, as well as practical ones. How many strikes before someone miscalculates, and how quickly do shipping, insurers, and neighbors react? Here's what to watch in the coming days. 1. The Atlantic. If the lull breaks, watch Bermuda and mid-ocean lanes first, then any recurvature toward cooler waters. 2. Eastern Europe aviation notices. If jamming pops up again on commercial approaches, that's your canary. 3. Ukraine's long-range pressure on Russian energy logistics. Ports and storage are the veins. Watch for follow-ons. 4. Taiwan's undersea cable patrols and any unusual research or fishing traffic near the routes that matter. 5. The Caribbean and South America. Any additional U.S. announcements about drug interdiction strikes and any Venezuelan military or diplomatic responses. That's your Zero Signal Situation Report. Keep your eyes open, your mind clear, and your questions sharp. We'll be back with the next map.